Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
While Girlfriend is my favorite album of all time, 100% Fun is my favorite Matthew Sweet album.
Welcome back, everybody, to Matthew Sweet in the 90s. You've reached day 3 of 5, and today we are going to cover the 1995 release 100% Fun. And you're a fun guy, Justin. Why don't you take the lead on this one?
Thanks, Nicholas. Justin Steiner here with Nicholas Nygaard and Kevin Clement.
Yeah. Hi, guys.
Back with you today. Yes, 1995's 100% Fun released on March 14th of that year. This album was produced by Matthew with Brendan O'Brien, who at this point was well known for his work with Pearl Jam and Stone Temple Pilots. Kind of the grungy side of things there. And this does have maybe not quite as hard of a sound as Altered Beast, but the lead-off track, which we'll talk about here in a second, does get there. Before we go any farther, I need to do my standard Matthew Sweet joke here. While Girlfriend is my favorite album of all time, 100% Fun is my favorite Matthew Sweet album. Because for me, this one is just a notch below. Altered Beast I like quite a bit, but for me, 100% Fun... Brought it right back up. So I'm assuming you guys, actually, before we do that, I want to mention one thing real quick. Nicholas yesterday had alluded to another track that was on Son of Altered Beast, that I wanted to mention today. So in between Altered Beast and 100% Fun, there was a small album that, 90s people might've heard of, a compilation album called the No Alternative album. And Matthew Sweet had a very prominent place on it. His song Super Deformed leads off that album. And Super Deformed might be the heaviest song in the Matthew Sweet catalog. And I love it unreservedly. I don't know what you guys think about Super Deformed.
Yeah, definitely. That one is, it's different for him, but it's very, very good. It's one of those that just kind of grabs you, and you just gotta go along with it and just jam to it, because it's definitely a jamming song.
It is, and it is not unlike the Ultra Suede song that we played out with yesterday.
Yeah,
it really is a rocking song and heavy.
Yeah, they are of a piece for sure. Good stuff right there. All right, so 1995, 100% Fun. Kevin, did you jump on this right away when it came out then?
Yes, I did. I was still I was back on board, and and this one, like I said, it is aptly titled. It is 100% Fun. This entire album is just good. And like Nicholas said, the other ones were like, you know, 14, 15 tracks. This one is smooth 12 tracks, and they just kind of, they're not real long songs from what I remember. I think they're mostly like 3-4 minutes max. So, you know, it's not one of those like grungy that just kind of goes along. They're nice little pop songs.
Yeah, all killer, no filler here, right? Yeah, Nicholas, so had you gone back to Girlfriend in the interim between Altered Beast and 100% Fun?
I sure had, yes. So I was very much looking forward to this album, and was looking out for it. I think it came out maybe back in those days, it could take another month or two before the records came out in Europe, or in Sweden at least. And at the time, I'd almost finished my university studies, but I had a last semester where I was going to go abroad. So I went to Innsbruck in Austria and stayed in a dorm. And I remember so vividly going into the shared kitchen that we had. And there was this radio that was always on with Austrian radio. And I walked in and I sort of, that voice sounds familiar. And they were going through the album that hadn't been released yet. It was just a serendipity that I walked in. And then I sat down and listened to how many songs they played, 3 or 4 maybe. And it was probably another few weeks before they released the album. But it was very much something that I'd been looking forward to.
Yeah, that's cool that you happen to walk in at the time. Like, yeah, I know, fun. You know, when you can catch some of those on the radio previews. I know Tom Petty's Into the Great Wide Open just passed its 35th anniversary here, and I remember in the lead up, we were out in New York State, like back in June before it came out, and they were featuring a number of the songs off of it before it, you know, was widely released. And, you know, I was like, wait, I don't want to get out of the car yet because I want to finish hearing this song. So yeah, super cool. Yeah. 100% Fun kicks off with the very self-deprecating, Sick of Myself, kind of a, you know, Gen X kind of an album, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
That kind of cascady sliding down, crunchy guitar, drums kicking in on that one. That's just it's a fantastic opening track to it. You got, I also love the cover of this one too, because it's a young Matthew Sweet with an album on his lap and headphones around his ears, just kind of smiling at, you know, that couch has got to be from the, you know, late 60s, early 70s on the cover of that. So, you know, I think really shows Matthew's love for music, you know, and I think that, as you were saying, Kevin, that fun kind of just comes out in the album. It's not as dark lyrically as some of the others are, but just varied in the type of power pop that we have.
It's supposed to be fun.
Yeah, and it is, right?
It is, yeah.
I can look at, like, you know, every title on the album and call that song to my head, like, you know, if not the opening part, you know, the chorus or whatever, and even a strange song like Super Baby, which is kind of buried in the album, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, super, you know, it's like, you know, you look at it and like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that one.
I know that song, right? You know?
Yeah, definitely.
It's cool. I was just going to chip in that I made a note that I absolutely love the artwork as well. I think it's so good.
Yeah.
And I was, the year after this was released, I was visiting my older sister in, she was studying at the Mizzou University in Columbia, Missouri. And they had a couple of really good record stores. And in one of them, he had a poster from this album. And I thought, oh, I'm gonna get that one. So I was trying to buy it, but he wouldn't sell it. He wouldn't. And I was so disappointed when I left.
It's too bad.
Yeah, it's funny. But this album came out, I was living in the dorms. And my dorm mate, he was a staunch country guy. Loved, you know, anything from the 50s through, you know, he even liked the pop country stuff, which, you know. But he did like the Beatles and a few other things, a little bit of rock, but mostly country. And I played him this album, and he absolutely loved it.
Yeah,
like, fantastic.
It's just so good.
Yeah, I mean, how can you not? Just track after track, a great great song. You got good guitar playing. Richard Lloyd and Robert Quine are still around, but Matthew Sweet is starting to play some lead guitar on his own on this album too, which kind of comes to the forefront as he moves through the 90s. Like he's gaining more confidence that way, or he's learned from the masters that he's with. One of the songs that we're going to talk about here in a little bit, actually, he's on lead guitar. It's hard to be like, well, this album, blah, 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 blah. You know, like it's a fun album full of just great, great tunes, right? This one is great, a stack of great tunes front to back. I mean, that's why I have my joke. Like it's, you know, my favorite Matthew Sweet album, even though Girlfriend is my, I don't know. I'm not being very in depth on this. Does anybody want to rescue me before we listen to one of the tunes? Or
I was just going to mention the tone of the guitars is completely different to to the previous work he'd done. I assume that has to do with Brendan O'Brien producing and mixing, because he had, he came from a different direction, I suppose.
Yeah, and he was an engineer even before he started producing. I think Brendan O'Brien was an engineer on the Black Crowes debut album and some other others around that time period, and was kind of, you know, coming into his own as a producer.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Do we want to maybe hear one of the songs?
Of course we want to hear one of the songs. So which one have you picked?
One of the ones is the third track, which is called We're the Same, which has just him harmonizing with himself again. The chorus is soaring and a great Robert Quine just lead guitar. It's, again, if you're like, what is power pop? Explain power pop to me. Playing We're the Same, I think, would be a good explanation of what power pop does at its best.
Indeed is power pop goodness, huh?
Just give you a toothache. It's so sweet.
The drums too on that song, right? I just, you know, again, as we concentrate and listen, there's like the little cymbal touches early on before the first drum fill comes in, and then there's in the chorus you got kind of that ride cymbal going there too ahead of the drum fills. Great bass part again on that tune. It's I mean, play me that song five times in a row and I'm happy.
Yeah, definitely.
So do you said it multiple times now, Justin, this is a fun album, and you said no all killers, no fillers. I do have one song though that I am a little bit skeptical why it's in there. I could have dropped Lost My Mind, although it's still a good song. So, but I when I listen to this album, I sort of, when it comes into Everything Changes and this is a nice song, and then it turns over to Lost My Mind, and I just feel my finger, I want to skip this one.
Mm.
And that's never a good sign.
No.
Which means that this album, for me, is about 91.7% fun. So, yeah, I'm done.
The psychedelic guitars on Lost My Mind help me on that one, because it's I mean, he gets psychedelic here and there in his catalog, but those guitars work for me.
And it has a kind of cool drum groove, I have to admit.
Yeah, it does.
So, yeah. But some days I just feel like I'm skipping it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, are there any other songs anybody else wants to shout out, or do we want to hit one more track here?
Yeah, the one. It was "Sick of Myself." The lead off track.
Yep.
And that one is just, I mean, it leads off perfectly. I mean, it just hits you straight right in the face. It's so good. And when there's people that have, I know, that have never heard of Matthew Sweet, the two songs I play them are "Girlfriend" and "Sick of Myself." And I'm like, if you don't like those two songs, you're not going to like Matthew Sweet.
Yeah.
Good point. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's like a good opening salvo to try and get somebody to.
Yeah. And if you like that, let's go deeper.
Yep.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
I've got a soft spot for the closing songs on this one, too.
Oh, yes.
Get Older and Smug Moon. And Get Older, I really like because of his own backing vocals and how he sort of structures the song. It's just an ordinary pop song, but he makes it into something else. And I love that about Matthew Sweet. And then Smug Moon is such a beautiful closer. We were talking about the Friday Night Hootenanny before. I'm not a great singer, but I tried to rehearse that one too. But the range for the singing, it wasn't for me.
Yeah, it's a little tough.
Yeah, it's tough. So
that is a great piano ballad, right? Like, it doesn't have a ton of those in the 90s necessarily, but Smog Moon is
beautiful.
It's a great closer. Yeah,
but I know you've got
Cartoon Trees Cannot Conceal It.
Exactly. But I know you've got one more song, and I've got a story about that one, but let's hear what you have to say about.
Well, I also wanted to highlight Walk Out, which is a little punchier, maybe. It's got kind of some flangey type vocals on it. It's got a nice harpsichord part on Walk Out too. Uh-huh. And it's just a driving song. And then Matthew Sweet does play lead guitar on this one too, which I don't know. For me, this kind of sits in the same type of Matthew Sweet vein as Thought I Knew You from Girlfriend. They have like a similar type vibe to me, even though they don't sound the same, but I don't know, just kind of a different type of feel. So what's your Walk Out story?
And they're both track 8.
They are.
Did you watch a TV series called Homicide, Life on the Street, back in the day?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Then you remember John Munch, played by Richard Belzer, I think.
Yep.
I had to look up which episode on the internet. So in season 4, episode 2, Walk Out is played. And I remember that when I watched the actual episode and they played Walk Out, and I was just, oh, it's Matthew Sweet. And it had something to do with John Munch's exam for becoming a sergeant or whatever, inspector or something. Yeah. So that's my little story about Walk Out.
Richard Belzer is John Munch. He played that character across multiple TV series,
he
too.
He did,
kinda,
yeah.
Kind of one of those fun little things. Like, he had a really good career playing that guy because he got ported over to Law & Order eventually from Homicide. So
that's correct.
Shout out to the late Richard Belzer. John Munch, a singular character on American television.
Oh, yeah. And what did he do? he walked out. Just had a look in the liner notes from the CD and just to see that Matthew is actually playing the bass on Walk Out, and sure he did. I think the bass drives this song. You've been talking about the bass before, Justin, but I think it's obvious that he's first and foremost a bass player and then a guitarist, I believe.
Yeah, I think he was in a band with Michael Stipe's sister back in the 80s at one point.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I can't remember if he played bass there or played guitar there, but yeah.
I'm not sure. But when he played with Lloyd Cole, he usually played the bass as well.
So. Yeah. 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 Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe it's time for us to walk on out of day three of Matthew Sweet in the 90s week here. And we will come back and talk to you tomorrow about his 1997 album, Blue Sky on Mars. So thanks, Nicholas. Thanks, Kevin. See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye. Bye. Ninety 91.7% fun.